Turning your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 3, and that'll be the primary text we'll be using today as we continue our series on Choose Wisely, today looking at the walk of wisdom. If you'll stand in honor of the Word of God, we'll read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, 18 and 19, 21 to 26 from the New International Version. Beginning at verse 13 of Proverbs 3, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better return than gold. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion." Verse 22, "They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, you will sleep. Your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared." Let's pray. Father, certainly this would be a prayer of a blessing and a prayer that we would want every one of our graduates to live in, to have this experience of knowing the presence of God for them. But Lord, we would pray for them, we would pray for ourselves. Lord, help us to walk wisely. Help us to reap the benefits of a life that is well lived before you, honoring you, fearing God, and applying the truth of your word into our hearts, into our life. So, Father, any advice we would give to others, help us to pass it through ourselves first, and help us to be a people that honor you in our daily life. We give you a praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You see there, I have a little picture graph that I put in there, just reminded you of last week's message. You can go online and you can listen to that message if you missed it or like to hear it again. But basically the idea is that as I was looking at the book of Proverbs, I saw that there were some protections, kind of a structure for us to build our house, to build our life, to build our family upon. It says, by wisdom, a house, a life, a family is built. And they were the wall of truth, and truth has to be taken with humility. And as you do that, you have disciplines that you put into your life. The disciplines of life are the building blocks of life. We form our habits, and then our habits form us. That's another wall of protection, getting the right habits into our life, the right disciplines. But it also needs to be seasoned with grace, the grace of God into our life that flows through us, and we're able to give grace to ourselves when we mess up, because we will mess up, and we give grace to others when they mess up, because guess what? They'll mess up too. But, you know, really our life, as we begin to look at it, begins to have an accumulative effect of the choices and the decisions that we have made. And so we know that wisdom is actually applying truth in our life. It's not enough to know. You have to actually know how to work the knowledge that you have into your life. I don't remember who to give this quote to. It's not original with me, but they said, I think it was Immanuel Kant, science is organized knowledge. Wisdom is an organized life. We're going to talk about self-control. We're going to talk about discipline into our life. And the choices that we make are going to determine our future to a great extent. We want to be people that not just hear the truth, but as Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the application of that truth will set you free. So the question that I want us to delve into today is, how do we make good decisions? How do we know that our decisions are being made and influenced through this thing called wisdom that the book of Proverbs tells us about? And really our world has some extreme ideas about the decisions that we make in our life. And they're shown in kind of the literature or the media that we present. And there's a Greek mythology. There's an individual named Oedipus. And if you know anything about Oedipus, there was a prophecy before he was born that he would kill his father and that he would marry his mother. The father, knowing that, decided he would dispose of this child, and he pinned his, I don't know why he did this, but he pinned his ankles together and put him on a mountain to die, thinking that was going to be done, and he would forego this mythological prophecy, okay? Shepherds found the Oedipus, and they took him to the city of Corinth, where the king of Corinth and his wife, who were childless, adopted him. And as he grew in life, he was raised as their own child, but then he went and had a prophecy told him that said, you're going to kill your father, and you're going to marry your mother. Thinking that his adoptive parents were his real parents, he decides, I'm not going to live that type of prophecy. So he gets as far away from Corinth as he goes. And as he's going, he meets his real father, although he doesn't know it's his father. They get in a basically chariot road rage, and he kills his father. Anyway, the point is, the prophecy is fulfilled, even though he tried to make choices against it. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. It's really not pertinent to the scripture I want to share with you. But here's what some people have, is your fate is already determined. And it doesn't matter what choices that you make in life, it's kind of a done deal. And even when you try to work against it, it just fate either works against you or it works for you. Now that's one extreme. But another extreme is that You are the captain of your own soul. You are kind of your own God, and you make your own decisions in life. And, you know, there's a story that a lot of the kids would know, even though it was about 10 years before most of them were born. Back to the Future 3. Do you remember about Marty McFly? You guys remember that, right? Okay. It's kind of a big thing, and I've got a little video clip here.
Dr. Brown, I brought this note back from the future, and it's a race.
Of course it's a race.
But what does that mean?
It means your future hasn't been written yet. No one's has. Your future is whatever you make it. So make it a good one. Both of you.
So there you are. Seize the day. Your future hasn't been written yet. You're kind of the captain of your own soul. So you make life what it is. And if you don't like your life right now, again, no one's future has been written yet, so go ahead. And so that's the other extreme of things. And sometimes within even our faith, we get some wrong ideas about this, because God is sovereign, and yet it is difficult to grasp, but within the sovereignty of God, God allows for our own free will. And we make decisions, and yet God is ultimately in control of everything that we have. When I grew up, you know, it seemed like the circle that I was in, we're always making sure that we wanted to get God's will for sure. And it seemed like God had one person he wanted you to marry. He had one place he wanted you to go pastor and all that. And as I began to look, and a lot of people had a lot of stress, am I making God's will the right choice for my life? The problem as you begin to look at it is that we know that people are prone to make wrong decisions, right? Let's get more enthusiastic agreement than that. We know that other people are prone to make wrong decisions, right? Okay, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, they are. Okay, well, if God only had one person that you could marry and be in God's ultimate will for your life, what happens if someone makes the wrong choice? And what if another person makes the wrong choice? And there's a domino effect, and all of a sudden, what if someone married the one person you were really supposed to marry in the first place? You know, like God's will is a bullseye, but the problem with that bullseye, it's a moving target. And so who knows? And so the book of Proverbs addresses this, and it helps us to understand. It says, man plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. Commit your plans to the Lord, and it will succeed. And so in a nutshell, and I know we could have a long conversation about it, basically here's what the book of Proverbs teaches that wisdom does. It says, I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to honor him in every decision. I'm going to worry about being the right person before God. And if I have my heart right before God, God will guide and direct the decisions that I make that will work in to his will, because he is the God, as we know in Romans 8:28, that causes all things to work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So today we're going to delve into this. How do we walk the walk of wisdom? And part of it is this idea is that we have to be the right person before God. There's other Psalms. I don't have this one in your notes here, but Proverbs 11, verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them." So God's going to give us guidance, but it's the integrity of our heart that begins to guide us, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. The integrity of the upright guides you. You get guided by presenting your heart right before God. So in the New Testament, we'll see passages like this, Ephesians 5, 11, and then verse 15 and 16. I have it in your notes. "Do not participate in the worthless and unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead expose them by exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character." Verse 15. "Therefore see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with the wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil." You can walk the walk of wisdom. You can make decisions that are wise while people around you are making unwise decisions. That's what God is telling his people. And so how do we walk the walk of wisdom? I have three things for you out of Proverbs chapter 3. First of all, we walk with the wise. You have a decision to make, and you walk with the wise. Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools, and watch your life fall to pieces. We talked about this briefly last week. 1 Corinthians 15:33 is a New Testament passage that speaks of this too. It says, "Bad company corrupts good character or good morals." Watch who you hang out with. Pay attention to the influencers in your life, what you listen to, who you hang around, the media, the friends that you have. Walk with the wise and you will become wise. Anybody knows this, that if you're wanting to learn how to build something, I mean, now we YouTube everything, don't we? But you find someone who can and knows what they're doing and you begin watching them. You know, you may not want to go to a pastor to figure out how to build a structure in your house. Now, they may know how to do it, but you would want to go to a carpenter. Right now, we've had some work being done in our house, and there's someone that has the ability to do things that I could not do, and I want to make sure that they know what they're doing. But you know what? There are things I can do that they can't do. And so you see and you begin, and what the scripture teaches us is that if you're going to walk with the wise, here are some things that you need to do. It's not just that you determine who's going to be wise, is that you become a student of life. A student of life. There are some things you can't get out of a book. There's some things you have to observe through the personality and the experiences of another person's life. I like the Message paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 10:11. This is a passage of scripture that was talking about the people of Israel, and Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the things that were written about the Jewish people back in the wilderness were written for our instruction, that although they had all experienced God working in their life, with most of them, God wasn't pleased because they didn't honor God in many respects. And the Message paraphrase says 1 Corinthians 10:11 this way: "These are all warning markers, danger in our history books, written down so we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end. And we are just as capable of messing it up as they were." Wow. You know, this phrase that I've just tried to keep in my life, "I'm only as wise as my next choice." You know, a life of wisdom is one that continues to turn their heart toward God, because even people that have committed themselves to wise living can make wrong choices. And you never grow out of this need to walk with wise people. People that will not only encourage you, not only comfort you, but also will come along and keep you accountable. You need to learn from others' mistakes because you won't live long enough to make them all yourself. You know, I shared this last week. Good judgment comes from experience, but experience comes from poor or bad judgment. So become a student of life and begin to watch and see what is the outcome of people's lives. The scripture teaches us this in both the good and in the wrong. Observe good people's life and then look at the outcome of people that make wrong choices. As far as good people, I thought of Hebrews 13:7. It's in your notes. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Now, that is not talking about putting leaders on a pedestal. Some, you know, people that follow Jesus can make wrong decisions, right? Hello? Yep, they can. Okay. But it says, imitate their faith. See what's right in their life and thank God for it. You know, I'm thankful that God has put people in my life and continues to put people in. And here, if I tell them this, they will say, don't say that. But here's how I phrase it. They love Jesus more than I love Jesus. And so I want to know, how have they developed their heart in such a way that they love Jesus? Here's what I find. When I was a young pastor in my 20s, and you had some of the older saints die, and you wonder, who in the world is going to take their place? I mean, they are like, man, they walked with God in such a way that I haven't experienced. But here's what I've noticed. As I've aged, God has continued to mature his people. You've heard me say this at various times as your pastor. There's a difference between growing old in the Lord and growing up in the Lord. And so I am attuned to people. And I purpose, if I'm going to walk with the wise, I want to attune with people, put my heart in tune with people who have grown up in the Lord, people that I'm still seeing life change in. Remember those leaders who taught you the word of God. But also it tells us in Romans 16:15-20, and I picked this passage of scripture because the Delta Chi worship team is going to be singing, leading worship in the second service, and one of their favorite songs is Romans 16:19. And it is a boisterous song. It is an animated song. But here's what these kids are singing. They're singing, be excellent in good, in what is good, and be innocent in evil. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Well, the context of that is being a student of life. Notice what it says here. And Paul is coming to the end of Romans chapter 6, of his letter to the church at Rome. And he goes, I want to make one more appeal to my dear brothers and sisters. Notice this. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things that are contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ, our Lord. They are serving their own personal interest. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. That makes me happy. I want you to be wise in doing what is right and stay innocent of any wrong. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Now, in the context, he's talking about people not of the world that are making wrong decisions. He's talking about people that call themselves followers of Christ and they're making wrong decisions. And Paul doesn't really pull any punches about this. He goes, watch out for them. Stay away from them. You've got to know. You've got to be a student of life. As you're a student of life, you also have to commit to walk in wisdom. You're continually to say, God, give me your perspective, but also help me to commit to do this walk. As I walk with other wise people, help me myself to walk. Verse 15 of Ephesians 5. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Now, again, Ephesians was written to the church. And Paul was telling us to be careful not to walk unwise. And here's one of the truths we ought to take. It is possible for followers of Christ to walk unwisely. Ephesians 4:1, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. He's saying you have to, on a daily basis, continue to have a commitment to walk in wisdom. Now, as we read Proverbs 3 here, I want you to notice these phrases. Never forget, store my commands, never let loyalty leave you, tie them around your neck. There's a reminder, write them deep within your heart. So let's look at this and notice those forward-leaning verbs. Another way to say it is proverbs in our life, okay? My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. See, what the writer of Proverbs is telling their children is, you don't become wise by accident. You don't drift into wisdom. You might drift into sin, you will drift into foolishness, but you will not drift into wisdom. You don't inherit wisdom. Wisdom doesn't have grandchildren. You're a child of wisdom or you're not, okay? You make the commitment to apply wisdom in your life. Again, today we'll honor some of our graduates. We'll see some of the younger students leading worship in the 1045 worship service. And they are doing these things because this body of believers has been intentional about investing into their life. They will have to build upon what they have learned in the home and in the church and their walk with Christ. But it has been intentional, purposeful. It's not by accident. You don't accidentally follow God. You don't fall into following God. You might fall into sin, but you don't fall into following God. Leonardo da Vinci said, I have been impressed with the urgency of doing. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Being willing is not enough. We must do. James reminds us in James 1:22, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. And guess what? When you fool yourself, you're living the life of a fool. Commit to walk in wisdom. So we're going to walk with the wise, and we're going to walk with the wise by being a student of life, being observant of the outcome of people's lives, the decisions they make, process by which they make decisions. We're going to commit to the walk of wisdom, and then we're going to work that wisdom into our life. So that's the next bullet points here. Work wisdom into my life. Hebrews 11:6 says, so you see, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So as I tune my heart to wisdom, I realize that there's going to be some rewards on the other end of this. And the guarantee of those rewards comes from the God that I'm honoring in my daily life. Now, Proverbs 3 tells us that there's two primary ways in which we work wisdom and direction into our life. Familiar passage of Scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I have it in the Amplified version in your notes. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all of your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. If you're going to work wisdom into your life, here's what you realize. A wise person puts their trust in God. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. This word commit is very similar to the word trust in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, when it 4, excuse me, when it says trust in the Lord. That word commit means to roll one's weight upon. This is what's going to support you. So it says commit your way to the Lord. When it says trust, it means putting your weight upon God. Now, what is it telling? The weight of your heart. I was just thinking of this on my preaching is sometimes our hearts get weighed down, don't they? And here's what the New Testament parallel tells us. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. Cast all your anxiety upon the Lord, for he cares for you. And then it says, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't put your weight in your own understanding. We have this in when someone is an influencer in our life, we will say it in phrases like this. They hold a lot of weight with me. They carry a lot of weight. Their word carries a lot of weight with me. And here's what it's saying. Trust in the Lord. Let him be the one that you are putting your heart in your life. And notice this. It's with all of your heart. Not part with it. Not part of it. You know, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength is the primary command of Scripture to love the Lord that way. Commit to him. So you are going to work wisdom in your life by practicing trust, okay? By actually trusting God. Now, trust does not deny reality. It says God, it's trusting that God is going to be the gap between what you see and what you believe that God is going to do in your life. And then a wise person honors God in every area of their life. And then the writer, when he says, I'm just going to make your path straight, he begins to talk about what some of those areas are. And guess what the first one he talks about is your money. Because your money will tell you, Jesus said it this way, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. And how you spend the means by which you make decisions in life and what you bring in influences and what you say, we're going to commit to this, greatly impacts what you're honoring in life. For the Lord gives wisdom, we're told in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in the store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. Notice this. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. He's saying, honor God. And as you honor God in every area of your life, there's going to be some rewards that begin to come into your life. And so I want that next word is to live the rewards of wisdom. And there are four rewards that I see here out of Proverbs chapter 3. First of all, you're going to get God's direction. He will make your paths straight. Wisdom will begin to guard you and to guide you in life. It is God's direction, Proverbs 3:6. The next reward that you get is God's blessing. Do not be wise in your own eyes, for the Lord, fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. God's blessing is going to be upon your life. Because here's what the scripture says. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro the earth to strongly support those whose heart is completely his. This is why we can trust God, and this is why we can acknowledge him in all of our ways, is because God is the one that is going to be holding and sustaining you up. Now, we like God's guidance. At least I do. I like the path when God says, this is the way that you should go, walk in it. I like God's blessing. I see God's blessings all around. I'm not so thrilled about point number 3. It's God's correction. Because the wise person, as you read the book of Proverbs, the wise one is not just understands the right path to go and go in it. The wise person is humble enough to stop themselves when they're making the wrong decisions and allow themselves to be corrected without being offended, without being prideful, without being bitter, without just looking at them and say, well, you have a critical spirit, God. You're just being a little too critical to me, God. God's loving correction. This is throughout Proverbs. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. So she will guide you down delightful paths. All of her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. It's interesting that wisdom is mentioned too as a tree of life. Do you remember the tree of life earlier in the Bible? It's what was lost in the garden. It's what was protected by the cherubim, and so they didn't partake of the tree of life. And it says, this is a life-giving source to you as you tune your heart back to that which was lost in this world that is now wreaked with sin and wrong choices in life. And allow God to correct you, because, and understand when God corrects you, it's wonderful to read the Bible and say amen. But it's also a sign of God's love for you when you read the Bible and you say, ouch, I need to do something about that in my heart. See, God will come in, and for the child of God, he will first tap his finger on your attitude before he does your action. Let's think back through. Let's be a student of life. Let's look at your own life now. You've looked at other people. You're going to remember those who led you well. You're going to remember those who caused division and strife. But now let's evaluate your own life. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 says, search my heart, O God, and know my anxious thoughts. Try me, test me, and see if there be any anxious way in me, and lead me on the path everlasting. That's a person that wants to live their heart in integrity. And then lastly, here is God's favor. God's favor. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks, this is God, mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and the oppressed. The wise inherit honor, but the fool gets only shame. I kind of like the Message paraphrase here, this last verse where it talks about the fools only getting shame. I didn't put it in here because I don't think it's quite accurate, but I just like how it says it. It goes, wise living gets rewarded with honor. Stupid living gets the booby prize. At the end of the life, you don't want to get it to what God had for you and realize, oh, I could have had so much more. I could have done so much more with my life. I want to live the life that gets honor. I want to live the life where the servant is going into the king who's given us grace, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into the joy of your master. You see, there's a reward that comes from serving God. A purposeful, intentional, walking with the wise, becoming a student of life and committing to a life of wisdom, working wisdom into your life, saying no to certain things and saying yes to the things that are right by trusting God and by honoring God in every area of your life, organizing your life around the life that God has for you, and then living the rewards of that wisdom. God's guidance, his blessing, his correction, and his favor. To be able to have your children walk in the steps of God. What an honor. What God will do for you. And look what Proverbs 3:21-26 says. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Having no fear of sudden disaster or of ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Everything, a good that comes in your life is predicated upon the fact that God is with you and He is by your side. That's how He makes our path straight. That's how He brings the blessings and the goodness into our life. And as you know, not one of us has ever gotten the diploma of wisdom and said, "You're done." God gives us experience, life, people, circumstances for us to apply our hearts to God so we might present to Him a heart of wisdom. In fact, there's a psalm that says that, isn't it? "Teach us, O Lord, to number our days so that we can present to You a heart of wisdom." And graduation will come when Jesus Himself comes to receive His church back to Himself. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for how applicable it is in our life. And really for any decision that we face, whether it be a relational conflict, whether it be a financial decision, whether it be emotional turmoil in our life, Father, Your word speaks Your grace into our life. You are one that guides us through Your word, which is truth. And You ask us to receive it with humility, and then to discipline our mind, to take things captive, to discipline our responses, to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our life, which includes self-control, and then to live in the grace of God and with grace to others. So, Father, help us this day to make wise decisions, to take the walk of the wise. And, Father, if there's any area of our life where we're going down the path of foolishness, we thank You for Your correction, because Your correction today is a reminder that You love us and You want us to pour Your blessing into our life. In Jesus' name, amen.